Oh, I should probably open my notes. Did I take notes?
My
I don't know.
notes are ass.
Did I take notes? Did I
My
read
week's
anything
been
this?
ass.
Well, did I read anything this week? I did. Okay. Oh, thank you, past Karen.
Uh-oh.
I wrote notes.
Look at you go. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where we are both very, very emotionally drained.
This time, when you're
It's
hearing this, I'll be on a cruise, okay?
you
I
bitch.
need it. I need
I'm
it.
sneaking into your luggage.
Come on.
My goodness.
The more the merriment. Oh, I am Mandy of Beckett.
I'm Karen from the Monster Court.
All right.
Welcome back to the podcast where we are hanging on by a thread, y'all.
We're getting to the point in the part of the season where we start getting burned out. Not necessarily by the podcast, it's just the time of year. It's like April and September are just like,
We're getting close. We're getting close.
yeah. Oh,
Oh,
man.
man. In our timeline, it is September 18th, and in y'all's timeline, it is September 26th. We're almost to October, which is
Normally,
weird.
I let this segment upset me, but not this time
You're
because
on a
I
damn
am in the
cruise.
Bahamas.
I'm so upset with you.
Oh, I'm
How
with
dare.
Mickey Mouse and my family in the Bahamas. And I have a massage. It's Friday for you guys. Tomorrow, I have a massage, an hour and 15-minute hot stone massage.
That sounds
I need it like
glorious.
I need air.
Glorious.
That's the only time I get massages is when I go on cruises. Like my sister gets one a month, which I should probably do. That sounds great,
Yeah,
but
it does sound great.
if I'm going on a cruise,
100%.
put me down for the spa.
Right,
Put me down for the
100%.
spa.
This week in fangirling, what'd you do?
Not a lot. I have a sick dog, so I've been like in caregiver mode, obsessing over him. But I did sneak away to go see Downton Abbey, the grand finale. I wept at the end. It's the 1930s, but it's the third film after six seasons of a TV show. I mean, Downton's been out for long enough that there's not a lot of things that I feel like it can't be a spoiler anymore because, like, where have you been if you haven't watched Downton Abbey? But at the same time, I don't want to spoil the movie because it's new. There's new stuff.
Right.
I wept and wept at the very end. It's like, because I feel like it's okay to say because Maggie Smith has passed away. Dame Maggie Smith has passed. The Dowager has also passed away in one of the films, and she was alive when they filmed it. It's great. The last shot is just closing in on a portrait of her, and then it says, "In loving memory of Dame Maggie Smith, please." I'm emotionally fragile. And then they at one point they say, "Long live Downton Abbey." No, but really, long live Downton Abbey.
Oh man.
So I finished my revenge. I went and I watched the movie. Did I make you go to Newway when you came to visit with the red hot dogs?
Maybe we went to a movie theater.
But do we get hot dogs
Oh,
from a different place? Okay, so I got
yes.
my New Way hot dogs and I scarfed them down in the parking lot and then I went and cried over Downton Abbey. I went by myself. Like Josh was like, "I'll go with you." No, it's fine. Because I'll have to explain
Yeah. And
everything.
yeah, that's
You
not a
won't know
thing none of you.
anything. Like I don't want to tell you who that is and why this. They did make one change, one thing that is really upsetting. And it's because, and I don't want to like go into it, but like one of the actors did not want to come back for the movie, and so the route that they took with the story there was so upsetting to me.
Oh no, I hate
Oh,
that.
yeah. But it's fine. So I did all of that. We finished Wednesday. We had been watching, they split the season into
Right.
two different months. We finished that. Based on Hannah Nicole Meyer's recommendation. I did start watching The Musketeers. I'm only a few episodes in because I've been very, very busy this week with my dog and with other stuff. But I really like it so far, except one thing. And I don't remember if she warned me about this or not. Peter Capaldi is the bad guy.
Oh, she did not warn us about this.
I'm sorry, that's the doctor.
Wait,
What do you
what?
mean he's the
He's the
bad
bad
guy?
guy.
Yeah. And he's got like a mustache kind of thing, like goatee thing going on, which freaks me out. Like, I'm like,
Okay.
this is interesting. I have forgotten my dude's name that I'm in love with,
Aramis.
but Aramis,
You're
Aramis. I
welcome.
was thinking Asterion, but that's not right.
I only remember because one, you posted a story, and
Yeah.
two, the book that I am reading has a character with the same name. So
Okay,
it worked out
perfect.
for me.
Yeah. He is just like, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. They're all of the Musketeers are fine. Okay. But he's also like this, the comic relief kind of like the,
I
he's the one
love
that has the
those.
quick
Yeah.
little zing in there. And so I love him. D'Artagnan, I'm with her. I'm with Hannah that D'Artagnan's wonderful. Yeah.
Love.
Already ready to like get through all of it because like I just know I love it. So that's great. This weekend I went to the Okmulgee Indian Mounds is what they used to call, like that's what it's called here, Indigenous Mounds. It's the Indigenous Festival at Okmulgee. So we have the Okmulgee Indian tribe. Again, that's what it's called at the mounds. It's not me being any type of way with words. I don't know the years they were here, but we have like mounds from indigenous people where they lived 10 miles from my house. And so every year we do an indigenous festival where they have people from different tribes from all over the country come in, and it's celebrating indigenous heritage and culture. So it's a lot of like vendors making goods, workshops, and like shows of different like styles of dance or choruses. So we took my niece and nephew, the babies, and my mom, and I went. It was a lot of fun. It was so hot. It was so unbelievably hot. But it was cool. My nephew got his first face painting. We got a little snake. But it was cool. I haven't been to the Indigenous Festival in a few years, but that was a fun little history nerd thing to go do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was a good day. And then I have been doing a lot of like house chores getting ready to go on this cruise. So I started listening to Wild Reverence by Rebecca Ross. So we have Matilda. She's the herald of the gods. She's also like the youngest god. And she passes like letters and messages and words between realms. The god of war is basically like her godfather. When she's born, he's happens to be there, and he's like has to, her mother kind of finagles him into swearing an oath of protection over her. If she calls, he has to come. And that she, he's basically the only father figure she's known. She also finds herself, it starts out when they're, she's like a child, maybe like 10 or 12. She finds herself walking in the dreams of, I just like, my mouth would not do the words. She finds herself walking in the dreams of Vincent of Becket, who is a mortal boy who dreamed her before they ever met. So, like, he dreamed her into his mind. And they can interact in his dreams, but then things happen and they're drawn apart and they kind of don't think about each other for years. But now there's to be a royal wedding between Dacre and Enva, which we'll remember from Ruthless Vows and Divine Rivals. And Matilda and Vincent are brought back together. There might be some fake marriage. There might be some yearning. It's Rebecca Ross, so it's very ethereal, very beautiful, very
Yeah.
immersive. Every sentence makes you want to cry. That could be just because I'm very emotional this week, but it's Rebecca Ross. I don't
Yeah.
know how she does the things she does, but she does it and she
Yeah.
does it well. And then I very barely started on The Heartbreak Hotel by Ellen O'Clover. She's been a chaotic weekend, so. But I'm enjoying the little bit I've read. And that I think was all of my week.
I
What did you do this week?
also had a pretty quiet week. I read a few things. I read Once a Villain by Vanessa Lenn, which is book three in the Only a Monster trilogy, so it's the conclusion to the series. As a whole, I love it. As a very nitpicky thing, I am very mad at it. And I can't really say much about it because it's a spoiler. But I want to vent about it so hard because I'm so upset at this thing that happened.
Oh no.
And it makes me angry. Like, I'm so mad at it. Like, the story as a whole, I'm like, okay, I loved it. It was great. Lovely way to finish it. But there's just this one plot point that I'm like, why did you do that?
Yeah,
Just
that's me
why?
with Downton.
Just why? I cannot. I'm so upset about it. But the series as a whole, I did love it. I read Through Our Teeth by Pamela N. Harris. You have Liv, who is the main character in the primary POV. Her best friend Hope is dead of a suspected suicide. But Liv believes that there was foul play involved, specifically at the hands of Hope's ex-boyfriend Brendan, who also happens to be their like childhood best friend. Like the three of them were like a trio as they were growing up. Your mic is muted.
I'm hacking my lungs up. All I said was, "Oh
I was like,
no."
yeah, I saw you speaking, and I was like,
Yeah, sorry. I choke on water
no,
and
I.
have been hacking. No, I just said, "Oh no."
So with the help of Hope's other best friends, Kizzy and Cherie, they hatch this plan to get him to admit guilt and like take accountability for what they believe he did to Hope.
Oh, I'm worried. It's their best friend, though. Did he actually do it? Or are you ruining your friendship?
Things escalate very quickly. There's like this freak storm that happens that ends up trapping them, the three girls, Brendan, and then two of his friends at this like smart house that her mom has built that turns very, very dumb very fast when the power goes out. So they are literally trapped inside. They cannot open the doors. The windows are like
Oh
reinforced
no.
windows. Like they're built to withstand like hurricane, like they're trapped. They cannot get out. Turns out they are trapped with a killer who starts picking them off one by one.
Oopsies.
It is so twisty. I had so many theories while reading it, and I was wrong every single time.
Oh my
Until
God.
like right before the reveal was gonna happen, I was like, wait, it's gonna be this. And then like literally the next sentence was revealing. So it was like,
Yeah.
I was like, I did not see it
One of
coming.
those where you're covering the page so you can't
Yes.
read the next
Yeah.
sentence by
Yeah.
accident.
Because, yeah, but it's so good. I read one of her other books, I think last year, maybe the year before, and it was very similar, like twisty, like mystery, you thriller, like you cannot figure out what's going to happen next. And it was so good. I loved it. I think it's the best reading experience when you have multiple theories and they keep turning out to be wrong and it's done
Yeah.
well. Like you could be like, because sometimes you have these theories and then something else happens and you're like, that was completely out of left field. That was terrible. But
Yeah.
like, no, it's so good. Highly recommend. And then I read The Executioner's Three by Susan Dennard. Oh my gosh. The So good. So, I mean, it's Suze. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's, very like 90s nostalgia.
Oh, I love.
It is Like the references that she makes are so good. There's from so you have Freddie and Theo, who are the two main characters, and they all go to like rival schools, and the schools have been for decades have been in like this prank war with each other. And so Freddie accidentally calls the cops on the Theo's like classmates. They're having like this party and they're drinking and they're all underage because they're, you know,
Oh
teenagers, and
no.
they all get arrested. But she didn't know that they were there. She heard screaming and she thought somebody was in trouble, so she called
Yeah.
cops, and turns out she had them all, like
Oh
half their school was
no.
arrested. But now she's super popular at her school because everybody is like, that was an epic like prank, which
Prank.
I don't understand how that's a prank,
Yeah.
but she's like super popular. She's like one of the popular kids, part of like the prank squad now, and so they go back and forth like pranking each other. But there is something like kind of supernatural, paranormal happening that Freddie's like, what? I need to investigate this because
Yeah.
her dad was a detective and he's passed, and she kind of got that like genes, like want to investigate things. And so she's trying to like investigate these supernatural happenings, and her and Theo keep getting thrown together, and it's adorable because obviously we know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And it's really good. I really enjoyed it, and it's just so, it feels, it's set in the 90s, so like the nostalgia is just peak. And like they even have an argument over like NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys, and I'm just like,
In sync every time.
this is the
I
best thing ever. This is amazing. I
love
love it.
it.
It's so good. 10 out of 10. Like loved it. And then I cried my way through The Heartbreak Hotel. My God, I feel like this book was like a therapy session. I loved it so much, and we will talk about that shortly.
Oh.
Oh man, that was my
Is that
week.
your week?
Yeah, I don't, it's been quiet over here.
Yeah. Do you have a fictional boyfriend from said week?
Henry from the Heartbreak Hotel. I just, he's just,
It's a little baby.
he just went through so much. And the fact that he's still going and still surviving and is able to like fall in love again, I love him.
You're like,
He's
please help
and
me.
he's so good to her, and it's I can't. I love him. It's Henry.
That's
How about
okay. That's a
you?
good one. I have to go with Vincent of Beckett. He's a sweet little baby angel. You know how Rebecca Ross writes her male main characters, right? Like, we know. He's a sweet little angel, so respectful. Like I mentioned, there's like a fake marriage for show. He's like, but we have to like touch each other. We have to like, it's
Yeah.
gonna look weird if we don't like, we're married and we
Right.
never touch. And so he's like, where am I allowed to touch you? Like, oh, please. He's so
Cannot.
sweet. He's so sweet.
I love, I love, I love.
Precious little baby angel Vincent.
I love it. I love it.
Look at this.
Oh my goodness.
God.
Your dogs.
Their dad's supposed to be feeding them.
That sound means we have an intruder alert.
It's an intruder.
I'm so excited. I cannot believe we are doing this. I'm lost for words. We have Ellen O'Clover here to talk about The Heartbreak Hotel. I'm so excited. You don't know this, but when we first got the email, I screenshot it. I sent it to Mandy. I'm like, please, 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 can we? So I'm
Oh,
very
you're just
excited to
like, of
have you here.
course.
I'm so excited to have you here. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
So the first thing that we usually ask is, can you give us the elevator pitch of the book for anybody who hasn't heard of it?
Yeah, so the Heartbreak Hotel is a love story between Louisa, who is a therapist opening a bed and breakfast for the brokenhearted in the Colorado Mountains, and Henry, her landlord, who hates that she is doing this with his house because he has a hidden heartbreak of his own.
Oh,
It's
that was
so
such a
good.
professional and like good
Yeah, like
elevator
he's not
pitch. Wow.
the dad. I've practiced a few times, so to be
Good. Love
honest.
it. So where did this story come from? Like what made it come to you?
Yeah, this book actually has like a very specific origin story, which not all of my books do, but I was at a John Mayer concert in 2023. He did this solo acoustic tour, and I went to see him here in Colorado where I live, and he was performing a cover of Tom Petty's song Free Fallen, which I've heard so many times before, but for some reason, while I was watching it performed this time, that lyric, "All the bad boys are standing in the shadows and all the good girls are home with broken hearts," just really struck me. And I was
Oh.
like, what if all the good girls who are home with broken hearts are home together in the same house? And that was kind of like the initial seed of the idea. And then it was just a matter of figuring out why they would be there. Of course, it should be a therapist who is like creating this space for people. And then I really wanted it to be a love story because I think that a book about heartbreak that's actually a romance is really compelling. I think that pain and love are so tightly intertwined and they're such strong emotions. So I wanted it to be a romance. And so then it was a matter of figuring out who the right guy was for this lady who's opening this bed and breakfast for the brokenhearted. And of course, it should be someone who is struggling with a big heartbreak of his own and hasn't really confronted it yet. And so that's what kind of she has to help pull out of him over the course of the story.
It, that is
I
the
love
coolest
that.
origin story.
Yeah.
That's
Man.
amazing. Okay, so I basically cried myself through the whole book. It felt like a therapy session reading
Oh.
it. So what was like the writing of it? Because there are a lot of like tough scenes in there that I feel like would be hard to have to kind of get onto paper without breaking down yourself. What was your writing process like for this?
Yeah, there is a lot of heavy stuff that happens in this book. But I want to warn anyone listening that, it is a romance, so there is still a happy ever after. I think that ultimately this is a very hopeful book, even though it deals with a lot of heavy topics. And in writing it, it really was sort of a process of finding that balance. And so there's some really pivotal scenes in the book where there are certain things that get revealed, especially about Henry's past. I don't want to spoil anything, but those are scenes that I rewrote many times because you want to make sure that you're balancing this really heavy information with also the development of the romance. You want that to feel genuine and also like a little hint of hope at every point. And so like treating all those things with care, I did not definitely did not get it right on the first try. This was like a process of developing it and developing it. But I think what's so compelling about romance that deals with heavier themes is like when we experience really serious loss or like this really deep pain, I think it kind of opens up this deeper well within us to like pull from and relate to other people. And so Henry and Lou's romance is really one that they forge like in this, I don't want to say pit of despair. I don't know why that's the phrase that just came to my head, but that they forge through like these really painful feelings that they're both having, that they are like showing up for each other in those moments. And so it creates this really deep sort of emotional intimacy between them that they haven't felt with other people. Like they show up for each other in these ways that no one else in their lives has shown up for them before. And so their romance really is kind of forged in those moments of heartbreak, which to your point, it was like a really fine balance to try and find. And I'll leave it to readers whether they think I nailed it or not, but I did my
No, I definitely think you did. It was definitely like it does end on it. It's very hopeful. I mean, it's a romance, right? So it ends with an HEA, but like it is hopeful. Like you can come back from the worst kind of pain that you can imagine. And
Yeah.
yeah, for
Thank
sure.
you.
Well, and I mean, I like that so many of our romances and rom-coms lately, this is not like talking trash on them because I eat them up, okay? But maybe not wild circumstances, but not exactly like common circumstances either. So it's the vast majority of people are not gonna catch the eye of like the famous hockey player or the billionaire
Sure.
playboy. Like we
Right.
eat them up, but it's not so realistic. But this book has so many real, like real grief, real trauma, real emotion that's gonna resonate with real people in a way that other books cannot. Was that like your intention that you're like, I'm about to gut you guys? I'm about to hold up a mirror in front of you. I gotcha.
Thank you for saying that. I mean, it's certainly, always my goal when I'm writing is I hope that people will resonate with these characters and be able to see themselves in them. And so I hope that readers of The Heartbreak Hotel do feel that way. And I also love an escapist book where you get to fall in love with a billionaire. But I also love reading and feeling like, oh, I could have had this experience. Like this feels very true to life. And that's definitely what I was going for here. So I'm happy to hear that you feel like I accomplished that.
Yeah, for sure.
You also incorporate a lot of different kind of relationships and different kind of like heartbreak in this. Was that an active choice to kind of pick up on all of the nuance? Because there's so many ways that you can have your heart broken, right? It's not always a romantic relationship. And there are a lot of relationships, especially that Lou kind of goes through with the various characters that come in and out of this book.
Yeah, it was definitely intentional. And actually, here's a little fun fact. This book has had three different titles. So when I was writing it was called Home with Broken Hearts after the line in the Tom Petty song. And then when we sold it to Berkeley, it was called The Breakup Hotel. And then at some point, my editor and I were like, there are so many like other forms of heartbreak in this book besides being broken up with. Like, should we go bigger on the title? And so we kind of then like expanded to the Heartbreak Hotel, which is the perfect title for the book, and I'm so glad that's where we landed. But just like as an illustration of your point, like yes, there are lots of different kinds of heartbreak in this book, and I did that very intentionally. I wanted it to capture kind of a gamut of lived experiences, and while there definitely are people that come to the hotel because they're going through a breakup or a divorce, there's also grief, the pain of losing someone permanently, and then there's also the specific and very complicated grief of watching someone that you love struggle with a mental illness that you can't fix for them. Louisa's mother has borderline personality disorder, and so her childhood was unstable. It was like sometimes her mom was a really present and wonderful mother, sometimes she wasn't capable of that. In large part, Lou was raised by her older sister, Goldie. And so now they have kind of a complicated adult relationship because Goldie feels in some ways like she's Lou's mom and wants to protect her in this really fierce way. And they kind of have opposite reactions to their actual mother, and that they have to grapple with that as well. So it was very intentional to kind of show this spectrum of pain, the spectrum of pain. I'm like, God, how masochistic am I? But yeah, just to like show a lot of different lived experiences, and that, with the point being, we can support each other through things even if we haven't been through the exact same thing. Like, kind of one of the takeaways of this book is that it can take a village to heal us, and that sometimes all we need is just like other people to sit with us in our hurt. And that's what happens at the hotel. It's like, even though these people have experienced different things, just the fact of their being together is what helps them to heal.
Yeah.
100%.
I may not know your same pain, but I know that you're in pain and I know pain and I'm here.
Exactly.
That. So this is your adult romance debut, right? How has this experience been different from your previous books?
So I have two young adult novels out, 7% of Roe Devereux and The Someday Daughter. And then, yeah, like you said, this is my first adult book. And, in some ways I was very intimidated to switch over. I was like, am I even capable of this? Am I gonna miss, YA so much? And I do. I love writing YA. But what I was really worried about is that what I love so much about YA is writing about this big, hairy question of identity. It's like, who am I? Who do I want to be in the world? And when you're a teenager, you're grappling with that so intensely, kind of for the first time in your life. And writing this book, Heartbreak Hotel, really taught me that that's a lifelong project. Like, it doesn't end when you graduate high school. It doesn't end when you graduate college. Like, we are always doing that work of figuring out who we are and who we want to be. And So that was a really surprising joy of writing this book, was like, oh, I can still be circling that theme, because even though Lou is 26, she's still grappling with it. Even though Nan, one of my favorite side characters in the book, is in her 70s, like she's still grappling with it. We do this for our whole lives. So that was really fun. And then another thing that's been super fun is just like, I feel that marketing a adult romance, I get to engage with my direct audience so much more readily. Marketing at young adult, I'm often talking to parents, educators, librarians, people that are getting books into teenagers' hands, but it's rare, even like at a book event, that I actually get to talk to a teenager about my books. I'm usually talking to a grown-up. And so it's just been so cool to actually get to talk to my target market for this book.
I've
And
never thought about that.
And romance readers are so engaged. Like, they are the best.
Truth.
They're so passionate. And so it's just been an absolute joy to share space with them. And I'm really grateful to be here and to be accepted by
I was so
that.
excited. Like, I read both of your YA books and I love them so much. So when you
Oh,
announced this one, I was like, oh, she's dipping her toe into
thank you.
adult. So this specific story, the way that you've written it, it had to be, I think it had to be adult, but was there ever a point where you had conceived of it as a YA, since that was where you had started writing?
You don't know. I think like the concept was such that I was like, well, it has to be. I was always so sure that I wanted it to be a therapist who was opening this business, and so there was just like no way for me to make a teenager do that.
No,
But I certainly like thought about that in the other direction. Like, I think some of my YA, like I could see 7% of Rover Devereaux, my first YA book. Like, I even when I was writing, I was like, should this be an adult novel? And I was like, no, like I like it as a YA novel, but I do those gymnastics in my head sometimes, but not with this book.
It makes sense. Yeah, there's
Yeah. How are you going to put teenagers going to a bed and breakfast with themselves without a permission form? So speaking of the inn, did you have like a specific location in mind where you were like, that's the inspo for
Not a
the
specific
comeback
house.
inn?
Not a specific house, but Estes Park is a real town, and it's about an hour from where I live, and it is, I think, one of the most magical places on this planet. It is the gateway to Rocky Mountain National Park, which is one of the most beautiful spots in this country. And my parents actually live in Estes Park, so I spend a ton of time up there, and it's a very special place in my heart. And so as I was thinking about, like, this book really deals with like, what is home to us, and what are the spaces that make us feel held and safe and like we belong. And Estes Park is definitely one of those for me. I drive into town and feel my blood pressure lowering. It's like one of those like just really safe spaces in my life. And so it just made complete sense to me to set the book there. But the house is like just a amalgamation of all of my dreamy house ideas, like smashed into one thing. Like, I'm like,
I
like it's a, a gorgeous stone cabin. It's got a beautiful garden. It's got mountain views. It's got vintage furniture. It's like, it's decorated how I would decorate a house. So I just had fun, like letting my imagination carry me away with that one.
Oh, I
I
love
love
that.
it. Love it so much. Okay, so are there any like genres that you would maybe want to dip your toe into? Like you've written YA, which still was like romancy, and then this is your adult romance, but are there any other genres that you might think like, I could do that? I mean,
'Cause I
never
think
say
you could.
never. I can't imagine ever writing anything that does not have romance in it. Like, my YA novels are not romances, but they have very significant romance plots. I just love romance so much. Like, I can't imagine ever writing anything that doesn't have it, but I would love to. I have like a YA mystery idea I've been dabbling with, but mystery is so hard. I'm so impressed by mystery authors. Like, my books usually have a twist, but it's like one, there's just like one thing that I have to figure out how to like hint at. Doing a whole plot like that is really hard.
It seems so daunting.
It seems so overwhelming to even think about.
Totally. Like, it just feels like a complete separate skill set. Like, I'm so comfortable at this point with the beats of a romance story, which isn't to say that it's easy to write them. Like, writing a book is still a lot of work, but I know what I'm doing. And so, branching out into a new genre, it's always like just a new learning curve. And I would love to do it. I'm just not sure when or what the right idea will be.
I feel
I
like,
mean, it's
yeah, I feel like
exciting though. There's
I feel
endless
like you could
possibility.
infuse your writing style into any genre. I
Well,
feel
thank
like you
you. That's
could.
very kind.
So we don't want to keep you. We do want to keep you forever, but we don't want to take up too much of your time. But we do have a few questions that we always ask our guests. This is where every bit of media you've ever consumed just
Gone.
leaves your brain. So we have a segment on the podcast we like to call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we
Okay.
just pick a fictional character from that week where that we're like obsessed with that we think everybody should know. It doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen's had a fictional granny. I've had a fictional son, fictional
Amazing.
pets. Do you have any fictional characters in books, TV, whatever, that you were like, that is my comfort character. Everybody needs to know this character or these characters.
That's such a
You're
good
like,
question.
have I ever read a book? Have I
I
ever
don't
seen a
right. Yeah,
movie
I
in
know.
my
As you
life?
said, every piece of media is leaving my brain. But the first person that came to mind is Ben Wyatt from Parks and Rec. I just feel like he is
Yes.
like the template of like the sweet,
Gold tier.
nerdy. Yeah. And like
Yes.
he loves Leslie so much. He loves her the way that every woman deserves to be loved and celebrated. And I would be so happy with him, I think.
I get in like knockdown, drag out verbal altercations with people who say that Jim Halpert is a better husband than Ben
No,
Wyatt.
no.
I'm like, are you joking?
Have you
Ben
seen?
Wyatt would never open a business without telling Leslie, leave her with their children to go chase this dream, which is great. Like, do that, but do that with her.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that Jim Halpert bought a house without telling Pam, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they try to look you straight in your face and say, Jim's better than Ben. Never.
All Ben wants is for her to be happy, whether or not
Yes.
he's involved. He wants her to be happy.
Exactly.
Jim only cares that he's happy.
Ugh.
I have a lot of love for Jim in my heart, but I have more
I
love for Ben.
do
Yes,
too. And like,
like
I love Jim, but like, my husband, and like, I pointed it out to him, like, he's such a dick, though.
sometimes he really
Like,
is.
when Andy comes back and he's like, I'd like to be called Andrew now. And Jim is like, I'm not going to do that.
Like, yeah, come on,
Why?
Jim.
I mean,
Come on.
why? That's
Yeah.
so awful.
Agreed. Ben is a
So,
great choice.
that, yeah,
Yes.
top tier.
All right. So one of the other questions that we always ask, what are you reading? What are you recommending? What is something that you think everybody needs to read at least once in their life?
So I have a couple recommendations. The first is Isn't It Obvious by Rachel Rinna-Katz, which comes out in October. It's an adult romance and it's just phenomenal. It's like the classic trope where like they hate each other in real life, but they're secretly pen pals and they don't know it. Like they've been communicating online and but she does it so well and in such a fresh way. And Rachel's writing is just incredible. And then the second one I want to recommend is Sunken Love by Heather McBrain, which does not come out until January. So you have a little bit more of a wait on that one. But that's a second chance romance about a couple who is going through a divorce, but then they have to pretend that they're still together to go on this family cruise. And it's just the yearning, the pain. No surprise, I love a romance with some pain in it. And it's just phenomenal. So definitely pre-order that one too.
Oh, we
You
love
had me at yearning. That's my
yearning.
favorite. If I have
All
no
about
other trope, I need yearning. That's like
the
my raison d'être. That's like
yearning.
my reason.
I'm with you. It's about the yearning.
Yes.
And speaking of Ben Wyatt, you know that meme where Ben is like, it's about the cones. The cones adventure. So I have that on my phone, but like instead of the cones, it says yearning. And that is one of my most used memes. It's about the yearning.
I've got to find
Yes.
that
That's
because
perfection.
that's
Yes.
exactly it. That's everything.
Yearning
That's
is,
it. I
it's
don't need
just
anything
so
else.
good. It's so
That's
good.
why I'm like, I'm an Aaron Warner girly from, I don't know if you've read Shatter Me. I live and breathe and die for Aaron Warner. And it's because of me. No matter what they did to him, no matter
Yearn.
what.
Love, love, love.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know we kind of touched on maybe a YA mystery, but like, what can we
Maybe.
expect? I would love that. I would love
Yeah.
it. But like, what's coming next? What can we expect?
Yeah, definitely not a YA mystery. That's like a side project, like a maybe one day, one day, one day. But I do have another adult romance coming out next year. So late 2026, I have another contemporary romance with Berkeley. I don't have a pub date yet, and I can't say too much specific about it yet, but I can tell you that it majors in my favorite romance trope, which is rivals to lovers. So I'm very excited, and I'll have lots more to say about that one soon.
Oh, that's so
Oh no.
exciting.
Well,
Well,
Karen actually
we
has some
do
bad
have
news
some
to
bad
tell
news for
you.
you. Now that you have been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases.
Oh, that's good news. That's good news.
We always say we snuck it in the fine print.
Yes,
Great.
it
I
was
can't
just
wait.
waiting. So we will see you in late 2026 to talk about
Perfect.
it. Yay. Well, friends, I believe when this episode releases, The Heartbreak Hotel will be out. So go pick up your copy. This is not the official cover because I don't have it,
No.
but you do.
You
Oh,
do. And you
it's
have it
so
behind
good.
you too.
I do. I know. I have this giant poster also.
It's
Very, very
I
subtle
love
marketing
it.
here.
It's
I
so
love it.
beautiful. Go pick up your copy. It's so good. It's so good.
It's
And
about the earning.
grab some
About
tissues
learning.
because you're gonna go through it, but in a good way.
Thank you.
Thank you
Oh
so
my
much, Ellen,
gosh.
for
Thank you
being
for being
here. This
here.
has been
It was
such a
fun to chat with
blast.
you both.
My face hurts.
Me too. Mine too.
Oh my goodness. Well, we will talk to you soon. We can't wait. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Bye.
Bye.
I love her.
That was so much
She's
fun.
so pretty. I'll tell you who later. She reminds me of someone in the cult that we were in. And that
Who?
is like the highest compliment I could give a person.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
Oh.
that was so fun. My face hurts
I
from
love her. I love her. I love her books. That was so
I
fun.
got I can't wait to finish the Heartbreak Hotel.
I'm
Hopefully get all the
telling
way through it.
you, grab tissues
Yeah.
because it's
I'm smiling a whole lot knowing that I'm going through it.
it because, oh boy, once you learn about Henry, oh boy, is all I will say.
Ugh.
I also would like to preface or like just let you know because obviously I'm legally obligated to you. Henry is a vet and any dog that you see is fine.
Thank you.
Just yeah. But
Thank
yeah, but it's
you.
yeah, there is a scare. There is a scare, but he's fine. He's
Okay,
fine. Yeah.
good. I'm glad you finished before me.
Yes. All the dogs, no dogs were harmed in this book.
The making of this book. I love it.
It's so good. Go pick up a copy, guys. The Heartbreak Hotel, right now.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, what's the time for?
I think it's time for
We're
announcements.
gonna do an announcement.
Oh, I'm not ready. Hold on. I gotta open my Kindle.
I have two Kindles here for this occasion. I didn't do it on purpose. They just both happen to be here.
Well, that's nice for you.
Like,
Okay.
how convenient.
Next week, aka in like 4 days,
Oh.
we're talking to Rachel Linden about The Secret of Orange Blossom Cake. I'm very excited. I now want cake. I hope there's a
I would
recipe for
take some
this.
orange cake. If there's not orange cake or an orange
Or
cake recipe.
I might cry. Like there needs to be a
Yeah.
recipe. But I'm so excited. That'll be so much fun.
Yeah. Now that he's comfortable, should we do a
Do a
spiel?
spiel. All right. I guess it's time. It's that time.
Look at us go.
If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog. Subscribe to our Patreon for early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, and bonus content. Lots of dogs. Lots of
God.
them. Good
There's so
times.
many. We're outnumbered. The twins were even here the other night, and there are
And you're
more dogs than people. Like, we used to each have one. Like, I'll
now.
handle this one. You
Yep. Now
We
you're
were talking
outnumbered.
the other day about how we're gonna have to get a stocking and Christmas pajamas for Poochie, and I was like, the thought of having a Christmas tree with him here. Oh
Oh
God, he's gonna be like, a big stick! There's a big stick for me! Please.
no.
So
Yeah,
yeah,
so
lots of dogs.
you
Lots of
definitely want
dogs.
the doggy
They're cute
content.
dogs,
They're
but
so
ugh.
cute. All right, you can also get some cute merch at our merch shop. You're going to go to the incoherentfangirl.com/shop to do some self-care, some shopping, some gift giving, maybe.
Yeah.
And then if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we will accept all of that
I'll take
in our
it.
inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And of course, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Give us your words. You
Give
know
us
we
those
love little
words.
words. Yes, please. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and visit our internet besties, do some self-care, do some holiday shopping, do whatever the heck you want to do because they're awesome.
Yeah, show them some love.
First stop is Here Comes the Nerd at herecomesthenerd.com. You're going to use code FANGIRL and get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. You can subscribe and get a box every month. You can buy an older box that they had extras of. You can get some random one-off goodies. We have two codes to choose that you can choose from. We don't care which one you choose. You just can't stack them. So sorry. You can use either code Karen 10 or Mandy 10 for 10% off, but you have to spell Karen right, or we're going to send the Musketeers after you, and
Ooh.
not in the good way.
The
Not in the good way, in the bad way. We're going to send evil Peter Capaldi after you, which is upsetting.
That,
Trust
yeah,
me.
I'm upset just hearing
Whew.
about that.
Yeah. He comes on the screen, and I was like, the bad guy? He's a bad guy? Why is
Why?
he the bad guy? He's a doctor. So spell Karen right, so you don't have to go through this trauma.
And then you're going to visit our friend Amber D. Lewis at amberdlewis.com. Add 10 of everything to your cart. Use code FANGIRL10. You'll get 10% off, which means you've gotten one of everything for free. So you're welcome. That's math.
Congratulations. That's math, and that makes you a Maxinista. I mean,
Perfect.
savings and deals.
100%.
And then last but not least, support my family. We have the show Husband. By now, public announcements have been made. It's out in the world. We're doing a show with Jack Osborne. And this week, when you're hearing this, Paranormal Mysteries is also airing on Thursday, this coming Thursday. The 26th, this coming Thursday,
That's to
or is it
that's
yesterday? It's out.
math. Yes,
It's
yesterday.
out.
Yesterday. Math is hard.
Yeah, it's out. This is one that people have really been looking forward to. It's getting the cast of the Holzer Files back together in a new setting and new concept that people are really excited about. So you'll go follow at Stream Beacon TV on everything. That's our streaming platform, which is paranormal horror, true crime content. If you use code FANGIRL10 when you sign up for a subscription, you'll get 10% off. We also have the show Husband is at Born of Josh on everything. He's all right, I guess, but he still hasn't fed our dogs, and he should have by now. So maybe he's in the doghouse. He's not. He's great. Then you can follow at Searchers Believe on all the things. That is his paranormal investigation group. If you go to searchersbelieve.com/shop and get some merch, it's all designed by yours truly, and you can get 10% off with Fangirl10 there as well. And you can also follow Searchers Podcast on all the things. We're recording an episode with Jack Osborne soon. So isn't that crazy? And last but not least, buy my book. It's coming out very soon, October 13th. It's The Living and the Dead. It's about a reaper. I mean, no, not a reaper girl. A girl.
That
A girl. I'm getting all of my
is
words messed up.
wrong.
It's The Living and the Dead. It's about a girl who was born a ghost and the Reaper who would die to have her look at him. He's Yearny, which I love. And yeah, if you go to aepurvis.com and get a copy and you use code Aaron Warner, you'll get 10% off. I could have done Fangirl 10 like everything else, but it would not have been me to not make something about Aaron Warner. So
That's facts. Facts.
it always comes back to Aaron. So I think that might have
That
been me and
is the Hank Aaron Warren girl. Thanks for listening.
Thank
We
you.
love
We love
you.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.